Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Okay, so hello.
Hello.
We're talking about boundaries today.
Oh, this is one of my favorite subjects.
That's because you don't have boundaries and I do.
Wait, I do have boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm just...
You've gotten better.
I feel like I have really good... I have less rigid boundaries than you. So you define your boundaries as good because they're rigid.
That's true.
My walls are a little bit more jello-y.
Yes, that's true too. Actually, I only say that because when I first met you, you never said no to anything.
Yeah, you're right. I am a recovering... Yes-aholic.
Yes-aholic, yeah. Yeah. When I first met you, Sarah was like...
I say yes to everything.
They'll say, hey, can you drive 5 hours to, you know, I don't know, help me, blah, 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 blah. And Sarah's like, I'm there. And I'm like, aren't you supposed to be somewhere that afternoon on the other side of the planet?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll just go here,
I think I realized that it was at the expense of me. I was not being able to do the things that I wanted to do because I was saying yes to everybody else.
Likewise, since I dogged on you a little bit, my problem is that I say no to things that could potentially enrich my life and bring more purpose, meaning, and connection. And so I think that that leads to isolation and loneliness, which is something that I grapple with from time to time because I purposely keep people at arm's length. So
totally.
I'm kind of interested in talking to our guests today. We're going to be talking to Henry Amar. He is a renowned life strategist, international speaker, and host of the podcast Making It Happen with Henry Amar. He's known for blending emotional intelligence with powerful storytelling. He delivered a TED Talk, which is how we found him, called What Porcupines Teach Us About Boundaries, where he used the metaphor of porcupines to explore the importance of healthy boundaries in relationships. So drawing on personal experience and deep insight, Henry inspires audiences to live empowered, authentic lives rooted in self-awareness and connection. So today we're going to talk about the hidden dangers of extremes.
We're going to talk about fear-based versus love-based boundaries.
Yeah, and how you find that sweet spot so you can live your best life. But before we get to Henry, let's hear from our first sponsor. Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your, quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our waitlist, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp. Well, welcome, Henry. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Before you hopped on, we were just talking about boundaries and how much the survivors in our nonprofit struggle with them sometimes. So I want to jump right in with the hidden dangers of extremes. Can you kind of explain to the audience how saying yes or no too often without discernment can lead to resentment, burnout, disconnection? Like, what is the cost of people pleasing or rejection?
Oh my gosh. Oh goodness. Yeah. We can dive in.
Jump right in. I'm jumping right in.
I love it. I love this so much. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I'll tell you the story, you know, since this is Faith Through Fire, I was working on a book and I put my laptop down and I had this like crazy inspiration, this revelation. It was just like I had to get up and start writing, and I started writing again. And I ended up writing this whole outline on boundaries, but it was called love-based boundaries. And I was like, okay. And I realized that boundaries aren't a yes or a no, they're a how much. And it's proximity. It's how much of me do you get? Or sometimes it is a no. Sometimes it is an all in yes, right? Like I'm married to my wife, I'm all in, right? Like God, it's all in for me. And sometimes it's a proximity thing. How much do you get? And you know, as I started to explore that, I realized that, you know, if it's like in my second TED talk, there's a metaphor I use about porcupines where it's really cold outside and then they come really close to each other to get warm, but they poke each other and hurt each other. So then they disperse and they're too far away, right? And then now they're freezing, but they keep going until they find the sweet spot where they can benefit and grow and have warmth in that relationship without hurting each other. And, you know, because the reality is sometimes if we don't set certain boundaries and proximity and understanding and having that discernment, what happens is our body gets, we're in a dysregulated state. Our body, our emotionally, you know, because we're in a fight or flight or freeze or, you know, disconnected state. And that's not healthy for our body. Right? It puts us into, it doesn't allow our body to fully oxidize. It doesn't allow us to have the peace that allows us to be present, to let the healing fully happen. Because if we're in a state of fear, which is really what it is, you know, where's the blood rushing in our body? It's going to, you know, to all the things just to survive. And
yeah, we've seen this in survivorship. Well, generally, we see this in people all the time. But through our programming, we tend to see two different ways that people can go. They tell everybody yes, and they
because
don't.
They're people pleasers.
Because yep. They're people pleasers, and they have no personal boundaries, and they don't know how to say no, even when it comes at a cost to them. And then we have the people who say no all the time because it's like a self-protective mechanism, but right. Then they suffer emotionally because they're not getting the support that they need. And mm-hmm. So it's like these two extremes, and we're constantly trying to figure out how to communicate to these women that there's a happy medium. And I think that's what you're kind of alluding to.
Do you think, and I think maybe this is from my own learning, and I'd be curious your thoughts, Henry, but like, do you think it's because that takes a little bit more work and it takes potentially a little bit more vulnerability and uncomfortableness to know, to one, to tell yourself, maybe I messed up with my boundary, this person, and now I've got to go back and like redo it? Or like, you know, why do you think that is?
Well, great question. And so both of them are survival mechanisms, right? Because there's a belief, our number one directive for our body and our mind is to keep us safe and keep us connected, right? And so the ones that, you know, are we'll call it people pleasing, there's a belief that if I set a boundary, then I'm a bad person. Or if I set a boundary, they're not going to like me. I'm not going to be loved. I'm not, you know, or when I was a kid, I tried to set a boundary and, you know, I ended up getting in massive trouble over it, right? So everything, we have to start with giving ourselves a lot of grace, no matter where we are, right? Whether we have walls up, and you know, one of my quotes that just came out of my heart was, the same walls that keep pain out are the same walls that keep love out. And I'll explore that about how it pertains to actually giving us life mm-hmm. when we actually are able to discern. But the thing is that I think there's a misconception that people pleasing isn't a form of self-protection, but it actually is. Because the idea is, if I please, if I don't set a boundary, if I let you in and do this, then I won't lose connection with you. You're not going to be mad at me. Because if you're mad at me, then I might not be enough, or I might be alone, or I might be disconnected. And I don't want people to be mad at me. I don't want to fail. I don't want to do anything wrong.
We just had this happen, Henry, where we have this thing called like a survivorship boot camp where we help women transition into survivorship. And it's like a 6 week long course, and it's every other week for 6 weeks. So they have to carve out an hour and a half every other week for 6 weeks. And we will have women reach out and be like, I really want to do this. I feel like I need it for my mental health. However, I watch my grandkids 5 days a week for my kids, or I can't tell my job that I need to leave work 20 minutes early in order to make the meeting. Or there's all these reasons that they put up as to why they can't invest in themselves. And I think it's so interesting because it's like they are willing to sacrifice their own well-being. I'm like, and I've had conversations with some of these women, like, you don't think your kids would understand if you said, hey, can you pick the kids up 20 minutes early, or can you find other arrangements every other week for 6 weeks while I invest in myself after a cancer diagnosis? Like, it's insane to me that they're struggling with this ask, but it's literally coming from this place of fear of, if I let them down, then it's going to put, you know, our relationship at risk. And I'm just like baffled as to why we got to this place where there's no safety in our relationships anymore.
Starting with a place of compassion and understanding is so big for me, because you can't beat yourself up into healing, right? And a lot of people see that and they know that there's an inner conflict. And I think when we look at people with boundaries, they want to say something. So there's this inner conflict. Part of me really wants to say something, but part of me doesn't want to lose love, or part of me doesn't want to be a bad person. And there's this belief system that is inherently deep inside of us that is so ingrained in us, right? And what you resist will persist. So instead of beating myself up around it, and I have this quote that really resonates with my soul, that is, most people tell themselves enough truth to be uncomfortable, but not enough truth to be free. And what I mean by that is this. So we'll get in and say, oh, you know what, yeah, like I'll get to that truth. But because what happens when we tell ourselves the truth? Oh my gosh, well, maybe I'm too afraid. Maybe I'm living in fear. But we won't get there, because when we say something we don't like about ourselves, what do? We beat ourselves up. And we're already hard on ourselves. The dialogue in our head is crazy for people, right? Especially when you've been through cancer, especially when you've been through something so difficult and there's so much emotion in intertwined with life, right? There's so much energy. And to me, going from a survival state to even a creator state, right? Where in, you know, pertaining to boundaries specifically, when we think about it, you know, we need boundaries and compassion within ourselves, right? Because if you have boundaries with no compassion, you have walls. But if you have compassion with no boundaries, you have no walls and you're walked all over. Both of them will lead to burnout. Both of them will lead to isolation or overcompensating, but we lose ourselves in it. And, you know, the podcast being called Faith Through Fire, I'll tell you this. When they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, when I asked people this question, I was like, what did he say the greatest commandment was? He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbors as yourself, right? We're so good sometimes at loving our neighbors and loving other people. We forget the fact that we're supposed to love ourselves and love our neighbors as ourselves. It's not selfish to love yourself. It's selfish to only to take care of yourself, or not to take care of yourself at all. Right? Where the greatest thing we can do is fill our cup and lift ourselves. And for the people that are scared to set the boundary, we think that, oh, if I set a boundary or you know, if I set a certain proximity, or if I go take care of myself, then I'm a bad person.
I've also noticed that when you put boundaries in place with people, they tend to rise to the occasion and benefit from it. It's not just you doing it for yourself. It also gives them a sense of stability and understanding of what you need from them that maybe doesn't exist currently. You know, people don't thrive well in chaos. And so if you're just constantly, like, both of you are just constantly interacting in this state of chaos, I feel like that's very unsettling for both parties. So I want to kind of talk about how much do people give in those circumstances while staying true to themselves and doing what's in their best interest. But before we do that, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh.
All right. Mom goes into labor while shopping for groceries. Thank you, Walmart, for experiencing this with me.
Great.
I don't know if this is a boob. It's just kind of a fun story. A Texas woman unexpectedly went into early labor while running errands at her local Walmart, and her husband caught the whole thing on camera.
Oh, why? Like, what? It's a beautiful moment when you capture it at home, but at Walmart?
I was just going to say, I'm like, I'm surprised to hear you say that, because you like to be there for births.
I mean, I do, but not in a Walmart.
It says, Serena Mancera, 31, stopped by the supermarket with her husband, 27-year-old Juan, before the couple headed to the beach with Serena's family, and they had their other kids.
How many other kids do they have?
Three. So this is their fourth.
Oh, my Lanta.
This is why they're shopping before she, like, when she could go to labor.
She had no time.
No, I'm just saying, like, on your fourth kid, you're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the kid will pop out
and
when
it probably
ready.
Just took a water slide right out.
The picture's adorable because it's her sitting next to him and he's got his shirt off with the baby on him.
Oh.
Which is so cute.
Well, they look like they're in the hospital there. Is that, like, after?
It says...
they look super cute.
It says...
I was sort of envisioning, you know, you see those... people of Walmart.
No, they're adorable.
Yeah, they are super cute.
Juan was checking out at the register when Serena visited the restroom, and that's when she noticed blood running down her leg. So she shouted for help. As I was done paying, I walked to the front and heard my wife screaming, scared.
Oh, jeez.
I was in shock, but the best thing was to keep her calm, relaxed, and not leave her side. But this is why she was scared. Serena had placenta previa.
Oh, that is very scary.
Yeah. For people that don't know, that's like when the placenta implants low in the uterus and covers the opening, and that can cause bleeding.
Yeah, you can bleed out very quickly with that.
Yeah, women at Walmart rushed to help my wife, Juan said, describing gawking onlookers as uncomfortable.
She did end up having the baby at Walmart?
It looks like it, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad that this was a good outcome.
Yeah, it says it's a very dangerous situation where my wife could have bled out. A Walmart customer and employee offered to help watch their three kids as someone else called an ambulance, which whisked the couple to a hospital. Oh, and there she gave birth.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not, she did not have...
Okay, thank goodness.
The baby in Walmart.
Yeah.
She just had a scare at Walmart.
I don't know that really anybody's the boob. It's so sad. It's like, it's a good outcome. This is great.
Yeah, no, I mean, kudos to Walmart for spurring into action and calling an ambulance. If you were watching this unfold, would you kind of just be standing by?
I would have swooped in and take care of those kids because...
That's what you would have... You would have gravitated toward the kids.
I would have been like...
I would have been the one calling 911.
Oh, okay.
I'm the 911 caller.
I'm taking care of the kids. Although as soon as I heard she had placenta previa, I would probably be also on 911. Like, get here faster.
Yeah. I can't imagine having... Do you ever watch those videos? I think they're so fascinating when people have babies like in the car or, you know, like they pull over and they have them. Like, it's like my perfect nightmare.
I mean, I worked at a birth center, so I was there when people came in after that had happened. Like, I'll never forget one of the moms was, like, walking in holding her baby because she had just literally pushed her baby out in the front seat of her car.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
There is a video that I think is so funny because the husband's driving his wife to the hospital.
And she still has her leggings on.
She has her leggings on. And she's like, I got to take them off. And I think he's freaking. He's like, what? Okay. What? No.
Well, so no. Okay, that must not have been the one that I watched because the one I watched, he wasn't freaking out at all.
He was freaking out.
He was calm as can be. And she was like... The baby's coming. The baby's coming. He's like, okay, pull your pants down. Like, I mean, he's just like, all right, let's do this.
I saw one like that.
I'd be like, the bodily fluids in your car.
Oh, I know. That's what I kept thinking when I was watching it. I'm thinking the whole car needs to be detailed now. And then you have to go in. And,
I remember everything that came out and all those, every time they changed that sheet down there. Like,
there's a lot going on down there.
Yeah.
There, I saw one too where this lady literally like dropped a baby out her shorts as she's walking.
Like, bloop.
Like she was walking and this lady like came over to help her and like caught the baby as it was like coming out her short.
Oh my.
Yeah. I don't like that. That is a situation where I would never, I mean, I know some of them, they can't help it.
I have a tiny bit of envy because I feel like I worked so hard to get mine out and I'm like, how are these babies just slipping out of people's bodies?
I
feel like I felt every centimeter
I mean,
of that.
With my son, I was in labor for 27 hours before they did the C-section. I'm like, if I could have just plopped him out of my shorts, I would have.
Maybe we're the boobs.
Yeah, we're the boobs. We did it the wrong way. Yeah. There you go.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
So I was going to ask you, you know, in addition to women trying to people please to the point that it detrimentally affects them, the other thing that we'll see is that women will start evaluating their relationships in post-treatment because, you know, they got sick. And so they start reevaluating everything in their life, mind, body, and soul. And sometimes there's people in their lives that are toxic or have really done a lot of damage to them. And they're trying to navigate, you know, the difference between cutting them out completely, which might hurt them more or affect other relationships in the family dynamic, and keeping them at a protective distance that helps them and doesn't completely, you know, alienate the relationship. So, you know, how much do people give in those circumstances while staying true to themselves and doing what's in their best interest? How do you navigate those choppy waters? Because for me, and Sarah laughs about this, but if I even smell a whiff of toxicity, I cut them out of my life.
Yeah, great question. So there's something, I'm going to nerd out for 12 seconds. But before I do that, so we have to count the cost, right? Because if someone around you is putting your body into a state of fear because you're dysregulated around them, you're tippy toe, you're walking on glass. You know, it's hard to love when you're in survival mode and when you're in fear. We know that, right? Like whenever life activates us or whenever we're in this thing, it's really hard when you're fighting, when your body thinks you're attacking a lion, right? All the time, or you're fighting away a lion. So number one, what's the cost of allowing yourself to staying in these toxic situations? The cost is not only your own health, but the cost is your emotional wellness, and the cost is the impact it has on everything else in your life and the other relationships in your life, right? And so the idea of is we have to count the cost, and there's something called neuroception that is, you know, just think of it as the mind always looking for cues of safety or danger, especially when you've been through, you know, situations like cancer. Your body's in a state of, you know, awareness and alert, like, oh gosh, you know, sometimes we go into gratitude, sometimes we go into different things. But I'll tell you this, like, you know, it's the people, it's not only us that suffers, it's everything else in our life suffers. And we have to count the cost of us not taking that charge. So I'll give you an example. My mother was diagnosed with cancer. She passed away from cancer. And when we were going through her treatment and everything like that, so my father died just a couple of years before my mother. And I remember when my mother got diagnosed, I was in the hospital, and it was exactly like the movies, you know, like the doctor pulls you into the office, like, hey, she has cancer, it spreads to her organs, you know, all these things. And I remember thinking, I have a decision to make, and how can I get to the fullest expression of love within myself to show up for my mom and show up for people that I love that are going to be struggling around all this? How can I show up the best? The best is not living in fear. The best is not living in reactivity. The best is living in proactivity and awareness. What's the cost of not doing it? It's actually the love we're missing out on, the healing, the presence, the light that we're missing out on, because we can live in strictly fear-based living, but that is not a way to live. That is playing defense your whole life. And if you play basketball, you know, the best score you could have if all you play is defense is 0-0. So we have to understand and take full charge of our life and say, listen, and if we've, you know, if there's survival of cancer, we know how sacred life is. So we can't just go and just throw time away. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's like, what is going to maximize your heart, your energy, your soul, and your time? And when you're vibrant in that space, what do you really want to create out of your life? Then from that place, stepping into your power, you can step in and create a life from love and presence and faith and not a fear-based life, because a fear-based life is reactivity. A love-based life is proactive and present. And we get to go in and own our life because we know the sacredness of life.
Let me ask you this, because I'm hearing two separate things. Like, I'm hearing, okay, you have to do what's best. Like, you have to pour into yourself so that you can fully love other people. And then I'm also like thinking of the people who are dealing with toxic people or who are energy depleting. And you're like, okay, it's okay to keep them kind of on the periphery and set those hard boundaries. In your opinion, 100%. Is it best to directly address the person? Like, here are my boundaries and this is how we're going to interact. Like, is it a direct conversation or is it all being done behind the scenes without their knowledge?
You know, that's a great question. It really depends on the situation. And what I mean by that is, we can, you know, we could pretty much anticipate how people will respond to us, right? Like, we know that people have set boundaries, but some of them are aggressive. Some of them are just sensitive. You know, if someone comes in and they're aggressive and they guilt you and they do these things, and you know yourself enough to say, I don't know if I could handle that. Like, I'm just going to give in, or it's going to ruin like so many things. In that case, you might just make an unconscious decision, or like a quiet decision, to say, I'm going to go ahead and create some distance and, you know, maybe not. It's say, you're, you know, this is what's happening, or maybe I'm going to frame it in a way, you know, we know ourselves and we know how we are. And we know, you know, I feel really depleted and this is what I'm doing. And I just see this is time I need to take for myself. Or
I do like the way you reframe it, because I think a lot of people think I have to come at them aggressively and say that yep. They've hurt me and now I can't have any interaction with them because otherwise it's bad for me. And it's like, that's not really how that conversation can go. I do like the idea of framing it like, hey, I'm just feeling really exhausted and I don't want that to be the basis for our foundation or for our relationship. And so I am going to take some time for myself to, you know, really figure out what my needs are. And I want you to respect that while I'm kind of going through this process. Or, you know, I don't know what the proper way to do it is, but it's like, you can always, you know, my husband recently just left his job to take another one. And he was just like, you know, he really put the onus on himself. Like, I feel like this wasn't a good fit and I have to take ownership in the fact that, you know, I didn't realize that at first. And now I'm realizing what I need. And I hope you understand this. And it's definitely not a reflection on you. You know, I mean, there's just so many ways to kind of wordsmith It's,
yeah. But you know, one thing that I'll share really fast is, think about this. If you went and you parked a car in a neighborhood, right? And you go out and you come out and you're getting a parking ticket. And you're like, wait, what am I getting a ticket for? And the cop's like, well, you're not supposed to park here. Like, well, where's the sign? Where's the sign? And you're like, well, no, you're just not supposed to park here. Right. And you're getting punished for something that there was no explicit boundary set. Right. And a lot of times, if we don't set a boundary, then what ends up happening is people will still get punished because we're either depleted or we get activated, or they're like, oh my gosh, like,
I think that's an excellent point, because that's a conversation that comes up in in my family all the time. Because for me, and I'm very black and white, just to be transparent, but for me, I'm always telling people, you can't punish somebody and withdraw from them without telling them why. It's not kind to them. Like, you have to be willing to have the conversation of, I feel myself withdrawing. Here's the reason why. Moving forward, I think it would be best if we did X, Y, and Z. Now, there is a nice way to frame that, but I totally agree with you that what a lot of people do is they set these private boundaries without actually telling the other person. And then the other person is in the dark as to why you're more distant or not as available to them. And they're wanting relationship with you and you're withdrawing and nobody has had the direct conversation as to why.
Do you know, and Henry, I'd love to hear your input on this, but you know what I call people out on sometimes is, like, if I ask them for something or ask them to do something, I used to always be like, if it's too much, just say no. Like, and that was like my people pleasy part. But now I just make the ask and then I wait for their response, because I find it really interesting. I can almost tell when somebody is like, oh, I really have a lot going on, or I have this or that. And it's like, sometimes it's a very vague answer. And I'm like, it's okay if you just want to say no because you won't, like, because it's too much, or it's okay if you just say no because you just want to have you time, or like whatever the case may be. Because I think people feel like they have to give you an excuse for things. When there's no excuse needed, I would respect them a lot more if they were just like, actually, I plan to go for a walk on my own to listen to my podcast, like, or, you know, to do whatever. That I would respect way more than them coming out and be like, oh, I'm just really busy.
Yeah. You know, I think something important to say before we sign out is this, is that I call them love-based boundaries for a reason, right? I do have a lot of compassion. We have to tune into ourselves and ask ourselves, am I only a yes or a no because that's a fear-based thing, because every time I'm in the middle, or am I in the middle because I don't want to lose or fully let anybody in, right? We have to ask ourselves why. Why are we operating the way that we do? Is it a fear-based place or a love-based place? Because sometimes someone doesn't want us to set a boundary because they think we're leaving them. They think that they're not lovable. They have their own woundings. They have their own struggle. Maybe they almost lost us at one point, so they're afraid of losing us again, right? Like, there's so many layers to this that it's not a black and white answer. But the question is, are you operating from a fear-based place or a love-based place? And if you could approach it with love and compassion, people will align themselves where they are. If you walk in love and authenticity, everyone will align themselves where they are in the perfect proximity, in a way for you to love each other at the optimal state.
I think that's something that you touched on in your video that I really liked. But what I thought was really interesting about it was that you need to first identify what your values are, right? Trust, honesty. When I'm around you, you make me feel good. And then violations, how often and how badly, how much distance do I need from this person? And then just really listening to your emotions as an indicator. Do you feel anxious, depleted, lonely? You know, because those emotions can help determine the proximity you need to have in place with that person. So I thought that was all really useful for, like, people listening going, I don't know what layer they need to be in or how much distance I need from them. And I think those are ways that you can kind of start to evaluate those relationships and then make changes that are healthier for you and for them.
Yeah,
totally. You know, I love that so much. I love that you said that. You know, what's really cool is when you have these honest conversations, you'll see the capacity of that relationship. You'll be able to see how much of that relationship actually is nurturing. Because if you told me, Henry, when you say these things to me, because the boundaries aren't just like time, it's like, hey, when you say these things to me, it really, like, I'm really sensitive to that and it really hurts my feelings in that way. And so, you know, I would really appreciate it if you were able to not just winter me all the time, whatever, right? And if that person genuinely is caring in that way, in the way that you said it was from a loving place or whatever, you know, then they would go and you would see them put the effort in, right? But if someone's like, no, well, you just have to deal with it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, now I know that you're probably too close to my inner circle, because if you obviously don't care about what it does to me, then we need to have a conversation about that, right? And it's not from a fear-based place. It's like, dude, because when you do these things, then it really dysregulates the heck out of me, and I can't even love you the proper way. Because the reality is, we're either operating, and this is an extreme, right? There's scales to this, but I'm either operating in a fear-based way, which I either lose myself or completely go inward, and no one wins in that way. No one truly wins. Or I could operate from a love-based, powerful, present state that says, I'm going to step into the creator of my life. What is the best? I'm going to take an inventory of, you know, even throughout my day, how was today? What was my emotional state today? What worked, what didn't work? And just allowing myself to incrementally just assess my life. When we step into love and we step into that way, to me, that is living. And so you nailed it. And I feel so impressed to share the story. I know we're pushing the time here. Can I just share a quick story?
I'll tell you what, Henry, let's go to our last sponsor and then we'll wrap up with your story and final words for people.
Yep.
So here's our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
Okay, and we're back. Yeah, please share.
Yeah, so this keeps coming to my mind, and I always have to trust, you know, when you feel the nudge. And so when I was going through a really difficult time in my life, you know, it was super, super hard. And I remember really reflecting on when my mother got diagnosed with cancer, when she passed away, I took what I call a sacred pause. Because I said, if I just react right now, I allowed myself to feel all the emotions, right? I'm all about, I believe in emotions. I believe emotions are messengers. They're not supposed to be dictators, right? And so I felt all the emotions. I was sad. I was mad. I was happy. She wasn't suffering. All the things. She was my best friend. She was my rock. She was everything, you know, to me at the time. And now, like, I love her. I miss her. And so I remember saying to myself, Henry, the decision you make right now is going to impact the rest of your life. So I paused. And the serenity prayer came into my life, and it said, God, grant me the serenity, the peace to accept the things that I cannot change. I'm going to give those to you, God, and the courage to change the things that I can. And that was me and how I was going to show up, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I realized that what can I control? What was in my control? What can I do? You know, I can't control other people. I can't control what happened. I can't control scenarios, but I can control and step into me. And I remember looking at my mom and saying, Mom, I will honor your life with how I live mine. And I didn't know how. I just knew that whatever decision I made in advance was going to impact the rest of my life. Because in life, you know, there's a metaphor of the carrot, the egg, and the tea bag. And if you put each one in boiling hot water after 10 minutes, you take out the carrot, what happens? It withers. It's soft. It's just completely melts in your hands. You take out the egg, what happens? It's hardened, right? And you take out the tea bag, what happens? All the great characteristics from that tea bag have been extracted. The water smells better, tastes better, looks better. It's just enhanced. And so I told myself at that moment, I could either be the carrot and I could just wither away and just, you know, just like all people like this, life sucks, life is this. I could be the egg or I could be the egg and, oh, you know, just hardened and yes, no, no boundaries, no nothing. Or I could be the teabag and say, how can I let this extract every good thing from me, everything from my soul that God put me on this earth to do and to be? And at that moment, I realized, you know what, with what I can control, I believe in God, but I also want to believe God. And I also want to live a life of the most faith that I could, and the most, how can I let this, you know, refine me, this fire, as you know, this podcast is called. And lastly, my friend talked to the swordsmith and asked them, and, you know, she talked to them, heard the story, but she said, you know, how do you refine silver? And he said, well, I put it in fire, not so much that it burns it, but not so little that it doesn't refine it. He said, how do you know that it's done? He said, well, I could see my reflection in it. Hmm. And to me, sometimes I'm just like, I want God to see his reflection in me. It's love. God is truth. God is love, right? God is light. And so for me, I can't control what I can't control, but I must control what I can. And the best thing I could do for anybody is actually step into that love-based state, step into choosing my life and the power and the sacredness of every day that I have and choosing my life. Because if I don't choose my life, it's not my life. And God gave me agency.
That's so awesome.
I just wanted to share that just because it's, I don't know who needs to hear that, but it came on my heart and
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for sharing your insights. Go check out the TED Talk, What Porcupines Teach Us About Boundaries. Thank you, Henry.
Thanks so much.
All right. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Until then.
Bye.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmus, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.